Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. We are very fortunate to be joined by Antoine Foster via Skype in Gastonia, North Carolina. Thank you very much, Antoine, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
My pleasure. It's really nice to be here and to talk and discuss veganism with your viewers and to really connect them in such a higher level of consciousness. So spirituality is a big motivator for me to become a vegan because consuming violence and torture and death brings so much negative vibes that a lot of people are not aware of. It definitely clouds our perception of compassion because we believe in a world where we believe that all forms of injustice is wrong. All of us agree with that. A lot of us agree that it is wrong to hurt an innocent, defenseless, and harmless creature. And a lot of us believe in nonviolence. So a lot of these virtues, a lot of these connections that people have already, they already believe in going vegan. So the only thing stopping them is just their habits. And they can reform, they can change. They can change their perceptions very quickly. If they could put themselves in the victim's perception, in the victim's point of view, and have that empathy and that compassion, then they themselves can become fully spiritual into themselves. So before I was vegan, I joined the Positive Energy Group and the Namaste Group on Facebook, and I really connected with Eastern cultures of Hinduism, Buddhism, Taoism, and Confucianism, and I've analyzed a very common theme, which was compassion and nonviolence. And it really touched a chord with me because I was like, wow, I need to make a change in my life. I've watched a speech from this Nepali monk. His nickname is Buddha Boy, but I forgot.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Name. Buddha Boy. Yeah. Yes, Buddha Boy, yes. Oh my gosh, that speech he did when I was a non-vegan, it really was powerful because he talked about how sentient animals deserve peace, they deserve kindness, and they deserve our compassion towards them. And I felt so much guilt. Like, the guilt was eating me alive. Like, I feel like if a non-vegan doesn't feel guilty about that action that they did after watching that speech, then they really have to go deeper with themselves, meditate, and to really find that compassion within themselves. But for me, it was easy because I have that compassion within me. I've helped the homeless. I've talked to many people in anti-bullying groups. I've even talked people out of suicide, which was very incredible. And I've had that positive energy always within me. It was just that I was sociologically conditioned into speciesism, because I feel like a lot of people are the same way. A lot of people deep inside have the core values of veganism, the core values of ahimsa, which is nonviolence. A lot of us have those core values of making a stand against discrimination, against bullying, against hate. So when I've drawn the correlations of my truths with my values and my virtues, I had to make it consistent because I could not have a product of violence near me when my virtues are already aligned. I cannot consume it. I cannot be around that, because it will taint my spirit if I were to consume it. When we have the option to not consume violence, we should not do. I've always been a person who is big on meditation, who believes in cleansing chakras and cleansing your aura as well, and to make it vibrant so that you can emit more positive energy to the world, so that you can influence people to join the side of justice, to join the side of peace and kindness and benevolence. My energies that I've created have helped a lot of people go vegan. I've helped some of my friends go vegan, and then my friends who I've helped go vegan, they've helped their family go vegan. And I was so inspired when my friends told me that, and that it helped inspire more people to go vegan. And it's so amazing to see that positive domino effect going from one person to another, and to see that creating change, because veganism is growing, and we see that every day. We see the change happening. We see the shift of consciousness, where people are raising their vibrations, where they're going to a whole new level of deep consciousness. They're awakening their third eye chakra. They're no longer being brainwashed, and they're now awake now. They're no longer sleeping into that speciesist state of mind. They're awake, and now they're anti-speciesist. And just to really connect with other vegans who believe the same way is really healthy as well. There's plenty of vegans out there, and I encourage the viewers, if you are vegan, to find your community of people. So, do you have any questions so far?
Yes, this is wonderful. Thank you, Antoine.
Yes. Let's dive into activism. So, as you may know already, I went into activism really fast. I was only a few months vegan, like I would say 2 months vegan, and I was already inspired by vegan activism. I've seen videos of direct action everywhere, of the SAVE movement, and other organizations as well, and I was just moved by that. And I know I had to take action. I know I had to raise my voice and to really start, you know, igniting an alarm to raise awareness, because I cannot stay silent while there is so much injustice in this world. Because if I stayed silent, then that means I'm complicit in the violence. That means I'm allowing it to happen. And a lot of people may not understand that. They may say, well, there are some limitations, but I feel like, let's look at the animal's point of view. And we have to be their voice. We have to be active for them. Because they can't do it themselves. They're locked in cages. They're restricted from their freedoms. So just to see that within them, it's like, we have to be active for them. We cannot be, let our guard down and to think that everything is okay when it's not.
Yeah, I enjoyed watching the videos of your DXE activism. Yes. And I'm really happy to learn that you're the chapter leader of the Charlotte Direct Action Everywhere.
Yes.
And also that you're involved with Anonymous for the Voiceless, Vegans for Peace, and the North Carolina Farmed Animal Save.
Yes, the North Carolina Farmed Animal Save was an organization that my friend Roxanne created. She created that group 3 years ago, and she now has dozens of activists that go to her vigils, and it's really powerful to bear witness and to see the animals themselves, because we see it in videos, we see it on social media, but we don't actually get to see it face to face. Last December, I witnessed pigs going to slaughter, and this was outside the world's largest slaughterhouse in Tar Heel. And it was just, you look in their faces and you see trauma, you see abuse, you see that they had no compassion their whole life. So we were there to show them the only compassion that they were only have in their whole entire life. We comforted them to our best of our ability. And it was like, it was a mix of emotions. It can be quite hard to keep it all together, you know? when you see these innocent beings being set to slaughter, and that they're crying for mercy, and they're denied their freedoms. But then again, I'm also reminded that I'm with a group of amazing vegan activists who are changing the world for animals, and it gives me a lot of hope to see that. And to see little vegan activists who are also there to bear witness. And it's so incredible to see future activists just out there for the animals. And to also look at the movement as a whole. We're basically built up of millions of people around the world, all of us activists. And we're changing the climate. We're changing the climate politically, sociologically, we're changing the climate with people's minds, and we're changing the climate as a whole, and also environmentally as well, of course. And it's such a beautiful thing to do that, because veganism doesn't only affect non-humans, it affects the humans as well. So a lot of the people who work in slaughterhouses, they are immigrants, and they are denied other forms of employment because, you know, of their background. So they get the unpopular jobs, as you may know. So unfortunately, they get the roles of working at a slaughterhouse, and a lot of them develop PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, and other forms of mental illness. And it's so unfortunate because they say that they have to support their families, and they say they make that sacrifice, but then they really wish they didn't want to work there. I remember there was an interview that I've seen, I don't know where, I forgot, but where a slaughterhouse worker said that they wish there was another way, that they wish that the consumers themselves wouldn't support this, that they wish that they could just not be a part of that, or that people would not be a part of that anymore, because it causes so much psychological damage to actually be on the kill floor and to experience that. I'm sure there are a lot of people deep inside, they love animals, and they say that they love animals, and I know that there are people out there who do these things to animals, and they feel the inconsistency every day, and that's why they break down and they have mental illness. And then earlier today, I found out where North Carolina Farm Animal Save does their actions, where we actually go out there and do our vigils. I found out today. That they actually did human slavery in there. That they employed people back then, and they paid the immigrants nothing. No money at all. They exploited the workers. And my friend Wayne Shunk explained that, well, if they denied the rights of non-human animals, if they denied the rights of them as sentient, feeling individuals, then the people, the managers there, would easily deny the rights of the workers there as well. So, speciesism does interconnect with human rights, and it does interconnect, and that's why I am pro-intersectional, because I believe in that framework of liberation for all.
We're listening to Antoine Foster, a vegan activist from Gastonia, North Carolina. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. After this short break, we'll continue our conversation with Antoine.
Hey, this is Shamika Copeland, and you're listening to WCUW 91.3, WCUW.org.
Here's a reminder that the views expressed on Vegan Nation are not necessarily the views of this radio station, WCUW. Next week, I'll be bringing you news of the vegan marches held last Saturday in London, Los Angeles, New York City, Miami. Houston's march has been postponed until further notice, as well as the vegan marches held last Saturday in Bucharest, Romania, and Chisinau, the capital of Eastern Europe's Republic of Moldova. We'll also be hearing news about tomorrow's event in Utah. a Direct Action Everywhere event being held at Utah's largest pig CAFO. Coincidentally, this weekend is also Salt Lake City's Vegan Fest, which was a nice synchronicity for the vegan activists heading up on liberation buses. This event is being held as a direct action in response to the FBI's current raids on sanctuaries across the United States. Music, news, and events about the vegan lifestyle right here on WCUW 91.3 FM and around the world at WCUW.org. Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. We're very fortunate to be joined by Antoine Foster via Skype in Gastonia, North Carolina. Antoine is the chapter leader of Direct Action Everywhere, Charlotte, North Carolina, and he's also a member of Vegans for Peace, Anonymous for the Voiceless, and North Carolina Farmed Animal Safe. And now we'll continue our conversation with Antoine. This is part two, and you can hear part one in the Vegan Nation archives at wcuw.org/vegannation, as well as vegansradio.wordpress.com. And here's Antoine.
Another violation that I found out through watching What the Health, which is a really good documentary, and I highly encourage your viewers, if they haven't watched it already, to watch What the Health on Netflix. They talk about environmental racism in my state of North Carolina, where in some Black and Hispanic communities, there's actual pollution and other forms of waste, animal waste, that goes into the creeks. And I believe they mentioned that the farmers would spray the houses of where the marginalized people live at, and they would spray their houses with animal waste. So it's definitely a major problem in the state of North Carolina, but also I believe around the world as well, when there's environmental racism happening. And when I found that out, that is why I definitely believe veganism is tied into human rights. But yeah, that definitely was very disturbing, finding all these facts and just to, you know, look into and analyze the correlations between human rights and animal rights, how it intersects. It was disturbing yet empowering to find it out, because it's empowering because I can become an activist and fight for human rights and animal rights in the same aspect as with people using liberation framework for their causes. So I feel like, how incredible is it that us vegan activists are creating change as we speak? We are. And I see it with my daily interactions with people. I see it when my friends share a simple post. It could be a simple vegan post, but the impact can weigh a lot. Because when I was a non-vegan, when I see a vegan sharing a post on the groups that I was in, it definitely planted seeds of awareness, and it helped me a lot, and I'm just forever grateful because of that. So let's dive into how can people go vegan. So some vegan tips I want to give people is that the number one tip is that veganism is not a diet. It is a framework that is against oppression. So once you become a vegan, I would look at it through that aspect instead of looking at it through as a dietary lens. Because even though the food is good, which it definitely is, it's definitely something that extends beyond that. It extends to clothing, extends to animals used for entertainment, animals used for, you know, testing. So we're all against that. We're against anything that exploits animals. So it can be a lot to absorb, but as I said earlier, once you place yourself in the victim's position, it becomes a lot easier. That's what I did. When I first became vegan, that's made it a lot easier, was that looking at it through the lens of, if I was that animal, if I was that non-human animal being tortured and abused, like, I wouldn't want that happen to me, you know? So it made it a lot easier just having that mindset, that awareness of connecting to that animal. Even though I haven't met the individual animal that people are exploiting as we speak, or these animals that are exploited as we speak, I still connect with all of them. Because all of them deserve what we deserve, and that is liberation. They deserve the right to give their families, the right to live their own lives, not interrupted at all.
You're wonderful, and I look forward to you speaking worldwide for the rest of your long, 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 long life.
Yes, I definitely have plans to travel the world and to spread awareness, spread a higher level of consciousness to people that they can also connect with their true level of compassion, because a lot of us have that, you know, and it's so beautiful to see that, because when I went to do outreach and to interview many people, they look at me and they'd say, wow, I can relate to this guy. I can relate to him. I can see him through my lens, because he believes in human liberation. He believes in a freedom of liberation for all. He believes in justice. He believes in compassion and kindness and all these good things. He believes that in his framework. I want to advance my framework and learn from him. And I see that from people who talk to me, and they want to learn a lot. And it's really incredible to see people making the connection through that, and through people like me as well. Like, for example, Christopher Sebastian. He is incredible.
Yes.
I don't know if you interviewed him yet.
Yes. But yes. He's in the 2015 and 2016 archives on Vegan Nation.
Nice.
Yeah. He rocks. Yeah.
How many interviews have you done with him?
Two. Well, I did.
Nice.
Yes, I did one with him with the Intersectional Justice Conference that was held last year. And then also I featured the Vegan Praxis of Black Lives Matter, the conference that I attended, which was an online conference that was initiated and organized by Dr. Amy Breeze Harper. And he was one of the speakers at that conference, so I included him on that show as well.
That's incredible. I would love to be back on this show with you, definitely.
Yes, like, yes, for sure. And so we're coming to a close for the interview for today, Antoine. And what closing message do you have for our listeners?
My closing message for your listeners listening is that going vegan is not a restriction at all. A lot of people may think it is, but it's not. It's an extension of your compassion, an extension of your positivity, an extension of your kindness. Once you look at it through the lens of what the animals are going through, having their families separated, going through oppressive atrocities, it's a lot easier once you have that framework of thinking. Being a vegan for me now has been a joy. I have been more social now as a vegan than I was a non-vegan. I have traveled more, and I enjoy food a lot better now as a vegan. Like, there is so many delicious vegan foods out there. There's like vegan ice cream, vegan mac and cheese. Oh my gosh, vegan mac and cheese. That was the one thing that I thought I'll miss out on after I went vegan, but vegan mac and cheese is so good.
Yeah.
Like, that blew me away. Vegan pizza,
mm-hmm.
Vegan burgers. There's basically everything you can think of that is not vegan. There's a vegan alternative to that, and it's delicious. Like, yes, I was a bit skeptical at first, but I was proved wrong. Vegan food is effing good. It's very good. I love it. So having that as well is that you don't lose out on anything. You gain a lot more. You gain meaningful friendships, and you become more stronger in your place in this world. It gives you a lot more purpose in this world as well, to fight for the rights of non-humans. So I wish you all the best, and if you all have any questions on how to go vegan, you can email me at antwan0307@gmail.com, and that is A-N-T-W-A-N.
Yes, and also on Facebook. Can people contact you on Facebook?
Yes, you can contact me on Facebook as well. If you type in Antoine Foster, I'm just the guy hugging a big cow. A beautiful big cow, yes. Yes.
Thank you so much, Antoine. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
It's been a pleasure. I'm glad I can have this beautiful conversation with you.
You too. Thank you, Antoine.
Thank you. Enjoy your day.
You too. This concludes part two of the interview with Antoine Foster. Antoine joined us last week. To hear part one of Antoine's interview, please visit the Vegan Nation archives at wcuw.org/Vegan Nation, as well as vegansradio.wordpress.com. Antoine joined us via Skype in Gastonia, North Carolina. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is heard every Friday on WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and the globe at wcuw.org, 12:30 p.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to go out in today's program with Antoine describing to us some of the reality in the egg and dairy industry. May his wise words help us all to evolve and become compassionate and fair.
And to get insight for our viewers, I want to mention that the dairy industry is intensively cruel. For a dairy cow to produce milk, she has to be impregnated. And there's a device that they call a rape rack. And I've been on many dairy forums, and I've seen them proudly call it a rape rack, which is very disturbing. And they have it through their discourse with one another, and they proudly display and have pictures of them actually injecting semen through a device and impregnating the cow. Basically, after the pregnancy is over, the baby is ripped away from the mother. So the dairy cow never will ever see her baby again. It's a routine process, happens over and over and over again. And I've seen videos of mother cows grieving over the loss of her child. And when I saw that, I was like, hold up, this is dairy? And I thought dairy was like, you know, it was like a natural process where, you know, a bull and a cow would mate, and then that's how it is, and then they live with their families, and they just take the milk, basically. But it's definitely linked to the meat industry, because after the dairy cow is spent, and this is only 5 years, they can naturally live up to 20 years. But they become so exhausted after the process of pregnancy after pregnancy after pregnancy that they're just worn out. It's horrible, and they're sent to slaughter. After I heard about that, I was like, no, I can never consume dairy ever again, which was nice. Then I went to learn about the egg industry, and I made the connection with the baby chicks, because, of course, when I was a little kid, I had a connection with those chicks because they're so innocent and fragile. And a lot of people see that as well. You know, free-range chickens basically means they're still crowded together by the thousands, but they have no cages. Yeah, cage-free as well, it's the same way. They're crowded together, they have feces all over them, they have open sores, and even if you get your eggs from, you know, your neighbor's house, or if you were to get it from someone who may say they treat their chickens nicely, it's still commodifying the animals, and it's still part of exploitation. Basically using an animal product that was not ours to take in the first place.
We're listening to Antoine Foster via Skype in Gastonia, North Carolina. Much thanks to Antoine and all the vegan activists. Here's a reminder of the official Animal Rights March happening tomorrow, September 9th, in Tel Aviv, with an expected participation of 30,000 vegans. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/Vegan Nation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day. The songs we heard were the Chicken Song, Duck Song, Calf Song, and Cow Song. Also the Pig Song.